This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's a bright, breezy, slightly chilly morning. CliffCentral.com. It's 10 after 6. Let's go, let's go, let's make this happen. Somebody has to. Got to keep the wheels of the economy turning, right? I see all these people on the roads every morning, and I'm like, how can our economy not be working, you know, the way that it should be? And then I suddenly remember, you know, oh, obviously, because the supply side is good, but the demand side is very high. And there's so many people who get paid for nothing, really. There are lots. I'm not being snide about social grants and all that kind of thing. What I'm talking about is, you know, the people who are involved in, you know, deals with big corporations, and all they have to do is go to one meeting every day and that kind of thing. Those are not people who are in business. They really aren't. It's the ones who are working hard. And we all know who those people are. It's the people who have to teach, the people who have to serve and protect in the police. It's the people who have to nurse the sick. So if you're one of those people and you feel like you're working really, really hard and you don't get enough attention, I promise you, I think about you all the time.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good morning from me and from Sia and from Nolo. Ben is not in this morning. He's got some golf thing that he has to do. And we thought we'd do the show anyway.
You know, one day we'll get to the point where we really are well-versed in the things that Ben does.
Yeah, nobody
will be able to say. Yeah. He's the birdie of the eagle, and he's hitting a 4-par-1.
I can understand all of that.
Oh, never mind, I don't.
You know, I'm not going to try and explain it to you either, because if I screw it up, then I'll never hear the end of it.
I just know a par is how good you are. Your rating?
No, isn't it? Are we going to go this way?
Oh, wait, handicap is. Sorry, that's what it is. Your handicap is your rating. Never mind, you hit something under par.
Right. If it's a par 4... and you do it in 4 strokes, in other words, it takes you 4 strikes of the club to get to the hole, then you're par. If you're 1 less than par, it's called a birdie. Oh. If you're 2 less than par, it's called an eagle.
That's really good, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get an eagle, you're going to be -2 on that hole. Think about it. Birdie's -1. Par is 0. It means if it's a par 5, mm-hmm, and you do it in 5 shots, par.
How do you, never mind, I don't want to get into this conversation. I was about to ask, how do you get to par and an and, but yeah.
All right, anyway.
I just know how to clap at the
appropriate
times.
You know what an albatross
is? In golf?
Yes.
I've never in my life.
An albatross, because it's very hard to get. So you know what a hole-in-one is?
I've heard of the term. Does that have to
What's
do with
What's a hole-in-one? Just guess, I want to hear what, I'm not going to mock you.
A hole-in-one.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you...
Remember, what's the point of golf?
To get to the 18th hole.
Yeah, but what's the point on every hole?
To
get the ball in the hole.
So a hole-in-one is if you... is beyond an eagle?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, there we go. So if a birdie is par minus one, and an eagle is par -2, then a hole-in-one is par...
It means you've done it in one shot. And it's usually only in a par 3 because they're shorter. If you get the ball in the hole with just one, like you tee off and it goes straight into the hole, people are like, wow, this is a hole in one. That's
amazing. You're confusing
amazing.
Me even more with terms like tee off.
So you get a hole in one.
Mm-hmm.
On a par 5, if you manage to do it in two
five
shots.
Strokes. Oh.
If you do it in 2 shots on a par 5, that's an albatross. Do it in 3, it's an eagle. Do it in 4, it's a birdie. Do it in 5, it's a par.
Okay, I guess albatross is the word of the day then.
There we go.
Albatross. Okay.
Yeah, albatross. Isn't that something?
You at least know enough.
Have
you ever watched golf?
Yeah, I have.
Like to sit down.
Here's the weird thing, and I'd never admit this while Ben's here, but I used to. I loved the $1 Million in Sun City. I actually went there twice as a guest and followed the golfers around. I mean, like, this is a couple of years ago. It's maybe, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. I never played. But when we were kids, we were obsessed, my brother and I, with golf. So we'd set up little, I suppose you could call them mini golf holes around my parents' house. And we'd take out the clubs and we would pretend we were playing on real holes. But they were obviously much, much shorter. and we'd only use like a wedge or a sand wedge or whatever, and then we would score ourselves like proper golfers, even though we were playing on these ridiculous little courses. Jeez. There were no greens. But for a while, we would mow the lawn there and like look after it. And my dad was thrilled because it meant his lawn looked good.
Oh.
Even though occasionally we would take, even though we'd occasionally take divots out of it with the clubs, you know. Yeah, so it was my dad's birthday last night.
Oh, yay.
Because it's his birthday. It's Branson's birthday. It's Madiba's birthday. It's an auspicious day. So he loves that because he says, oh, you know, share the birthday with all these important people. He thinks it's great.
What did you guys do to celebrate?
We just had dinner at my parents', but you cannot believe what chaos this was.
Why?
Well, I mean, my mother went to the trouble making this really nice dinner. My sister was there. I came in at about 6:30. My brother and sister-in-law and their two kids came.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are, what, 4 and 2? Right. So the little one was absolutely fine, and then he started performing a little bit, so my brother gave him the cell phone to watch videos.
Like preoccupy himself in the corner.
So he was watching like videos in the photo album of himself or of him and his brother or like trains or whatever it was that he's got on there. And he was fine. He was quiet for like 10 minutes. Then they wanted to take the phone away. You cannot believe the tantrum that ensued. So he was screaming blue murder like you'd cut his hand off. You know, because I'm not surrounded by kids all the time. I suppose people who are parents go, oh, yeah, of course. They're like, oh, but yes, obviously that happens.
Mm.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
You're looking at the clock like, look, dinner's about to get started.
I was ready to go home already. And then the other one, then while that one is crying, the older one starts screaming too. I don't know why. Maybe he felt like he was missing out on something. The two of them, at one point I looked around the room. My dad has the cake on the table in front of him with all the candles in it. He wants his little grandchildren to come and blow out the candles with him.
Mm. Oh, that's sweet. It's the moment.
But the two of them are screaming like you can't, but their parents are running around trying to calm the situation down. I looked at this and I thought, this is hell.
Mm.
This is what hell looks like. This is what hell sounds like. I don't know what to do.
Do your brothers spank the kids? Do they?
Yeah, I think so. They're not violent with their children. Like any parent, you have to do what you have to do to discipline them.
Mm.
And if they behave really badly, I think they get a smack. But Jesus, I mean, look, they're not badly behaved kids.
But
you don't see this all the time. But last night, I mean, they were tired probably because it was past their bedtime. And anyway, it was just hilarious because I just wanted to go home. I was like, what's going on here?
Well, as long as your father enjoyed it, though.
Yeah.
And the spirit of the day.
No, he we all just looked at each other and laughed. But yeah, he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
He had a good day. He you know, the point is, also when you get to his age, I suppose, the birthday isn't really about you. It's about being with your family and, you know, that kind of thing. And from that point of view, he thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm.
And presents don't matter when you're that age. You don't really care about presents. Not like you did when you were 16. You're 16, the whole point of a birthday is the present.
Yeah, I think maybe for older men, or particularly maybe this is a thing in my family. I know with still my mother who just had her birthday last week and my grandmother, it still matters.
Really? That's important. The
and
birthday.
It's also, I think they just use it as an excuse for getting something that they really want, something new or flashy.
Okay.
That's their thing.
By the way, I just realized that we didn't really discuss after the last episode the Worksman series that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
There are three podcasts that we've done for Worksman's, the attorney's firm. And yesterday's episode was about land. And there were these two advocates in, who both are well-versed in everything to do with land redistribution, land claims, land policy, all of this stuff. And we discussed it at length with them yesterday, which I'd love you to listen to if you haven't heard it before already. It's on the Cliff Central homepage. You can go up there. It'll appear in the top banner. If you're not on that one immediately, it'll come up shortly. There's an arrow that goes left and right. There's the Sunlum 200-year-old. There's some Madiba Day stuff. And then there's the Worksman's Attorneys. You've got to listen to this, because if you are one of those people who's interested in what's going on in land at the moment, and what the politicians tell you is completely different to what the lawyers tell you. The lawyers know what the real facts are. The politicians are all just angling for your support, your vote, or some kind of, you know, virtue points. So go and have a look at that and listen to the podcast isn't long. It's maybe half an hour to 40 minutes.
44 minutes.
And it's really, really interesting. So go and take a listen. I think you might enjoy it.
It's refreshing to learn something new.
Yeah. I have to go for a vitality checkup today.
Oh, it's that time.
Yeah, and I go every 6 months, so it's not a big deal. But I always, there are a couple of things about it that make me a bit nervous, because I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. So I know I'm, you know, every 6 months, obviously you're getting older.
Yes.
So I don't ever want to drop off in terms of fitness. So I'm a little bit worried that I might be a little less fit than the last time, because I was in pretty good shape last time I did this. And if I am, it would irritate me no end. Then they do the HIV test, which I know I don't have to worry. I'm not, I know I've been like, I've been as good as gold, but you know, it doesn't matter how good you are. You go for that test, you always get nervous.
Those couple of minutes as you wait.
That nurse explains to you, she's like, when this little line goes up here, if it goes there, then you're negative. If it stops here, you're positive, whatever. Doesn't matter how sensible you've been. Doesn't matter how careful you've been. Doesn't matter how sure you are of yourself. Wow. I mean, when that thing happens, you're like, what the hell? I'm putting myself through real stress.
Those couple of minutes, you sit there thinking, okay. What's
I think that? Maybe that's why they do the blood pressure one before that.
Oh, so, it's normal.
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. And you have to go for the blood pressure. What else do they do? Oh, yes. You spend, normally I just knock them all off so that I can get the points, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to the dietitian and she says to you, or he says to you, you got to eat more vegetables. And you're like, but I eat 2 servings of vegetables a day. Oh, it's not enough. They said, how much fish do you eat?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing. But I do like it.
Have you been over the past couple of weeks, how have you been with gym and
eating? I've been very good, except when we went to London. So that week I went to the gym in the hotel once. But we were walking a lot, right? So maybe
it balances. Shouldn't it count for something?
I don't know. I certainly didn't lose any weight. And I'm not sure that once I went on a holiday, when was it, to New York, I walked and walked and walked, and I thought when I get home, I'm going to weigh 10 kilograms less. I felt really fit. My legs were like, you know when your legs are firm and like I've really been walking. I got home, I hadn't lost a kilogram.
Okay.
That's zero difference. I'm so disappointed. Morning team, where is Poppy? Haven't heard her on air for a few days now. So as I explained when Mabali left, that we weren't going to go back to a formula that we already had put in place when we started here. I didn't want to have a morning team situation. I think there's a lot about that I'm kind of bored with. And Poppy is going to be joining us once a week on a Monday. Kind of like the way Gord comes in once a week. Because I like the variety. And, you know, the last thing I want is for you to become bored when you listen to us by being able to predict what's going to happen. And simultaneously with that, I don't want to get bored. There's nothing worse for me than to come in here every morning and go, oh, no, we've got to do this again. So I've got to keep changing it up. I've got a very short attention span, ADHD. I think a lot of people who listen to us have the same problem. Look, the point is this. I kind of think, in a moment of analysis, I think that the show's run its course. I really do think what we've done here is it's enough now. The idea of a show where we get here every morning and we talk like a radio show, but it goes on to podcast is stupid. Sure. I don't
for
like
a second, I was like, what are you saying? Are no, you firing us on air?
I think it's a stupid idea. I'm way more interested in producing the series that we've done with, you know, Worksmans or Discovery. You know, there are all these series that we're putting together now that are, to me, they're a lot more focused. And getting here in the morning and talking about current affairs and shooting the breeze and interviewing guests, I'm kind of over it. I've got to say, it's like 4 years. We've done thousands of hours of interviews, thousands of hours of the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm sort of a little bored with that formula. So if we don't change it, I'm not going to be giving you what you need. And the audience, while it's huge, and I'm very happy with the audience that we've got listening to this show, it's not growing exponentially. So it's not like there's a reason for me to keep, you know, the same old pattern in place. We can experiment because people aren't coming here in their droves and people aren't leaving in their droves. We've got a core, solid audience, and I love you for that because this makes it worthwhile. If we came in here every morning and I was sitting just talking to myself, it would last 3 days. And I'd run out of things to talk about. It's interactive. That's what makes it work. So I'm always excited to get in here and do something new and do something different. If we weren't doing something different, I would still be on radio. I'd still be doing that morning show. And the reason, one of the reasons, and there were a few, but the most important reason I had to stop was because I was bored with radio. And what we're doing here is starting to get to a point now for me where it's not as exciting as it once was to come in and have the freedom to talk about the things that there's got to be more. You've got to take it somewhere. So when we had the changes to the show that we have had this year, and I've welcomed all of them, it's given us an opportunity to change things up, to make things a little different. And I'm kind of excited about that. That gives me a reason to do the show every day. And, you know, your feedback continues to matter. So I don't mind answering these questions. If you want to know the answers, go ahead and ask.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So Poppy's like a swing member of the team, like Gord. You know, we have these weekly people who are on the team. And then today, Ben is doing this golf thing, but usually he's in here every day because we like to include sport. And we like Ben. And you're an important part of this, which is why I'm bringing back the calls. You can always call us, 0861-555-189. It's hugely important to me. We don't have those calls. I do sometimes feel like I'm just talking to Sia. Bev says she's singing along to No More Bullshit with so much passion and conviction this morning. Let's do this. Yeah, damn right.
Just mind yourself as you walk into the office, Bev. Don't want HR calling you as you're singing No More Bullshit down the corridor.
Yeah, so you could cause yourself some trouble. Hey, didn't you go to the Katy Perry concert last night?
Talking about singing. Yo!
Was it good?
So freaking amazing.
Really?
Really was. Do you know you always...
Is this why people love her? Because she's consistent and she really delivers.
This is my first experience of seeing her live. Mm-hmm. But you know how wary we get whenever massive international stars come to South Africa?
She was at the Dome, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And she'll be there for a couple of nights before going to Cape Town and Durban as well.
Right.
But there's a thing of, will they really give us that standard that Americans, for example, are used to? And will they bring all of their sets? And will they bring all of these different props? Katy Perry did that and then some. It was incredible.
That's interesting because a friend of mine sent me a WhatsApp and she was at the concert and it's a video of Katy Perry on the stage with these two huge flamingos.
Yes.
But it's obviously two people dressed in like a flamingo costume, right?
Katy did it all. She had flamingos, a portion of the concert. She laid out keyboards, piano keyboards on the floor of the stage and she was dancing on top playing the actual keys to this piano. She had this massive hand that came out of the stage. So essentially she was dancing on this palm of a hand. She brought in the flamingos, there were sharks, there were the works. And as quirky as she is, and you know all of her music videos are like this Alice in Wonderland or this fictional world, she brought all of that. And at the end of the day, you know, she's this preacher's kid who grew up in church, and as a teenager, she even released like gospel music. And I think a lot of people tend to forget that part of her because we think of her as this cotton candy girl. But she really has great pipes to her as well. And she delivered in terms of vocals, in terms of choreography. I said to this friend of mine as we were leaving, I was like, I think I was officially like a 12-year-old girl there.
Wow, that sounds really good. I was invited, and with my dad's birthday and everything else, I know better now that don't just say no.
Really?
Yeah, because can you imagine that you heard me complaining about the Mandela lecture? You don't want to hear that again. So I say no, and I was offered. Let me just read this because I don't even know what this is, but it sounded fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. See this quickly.
We like offered a suite.
Yes. Oh no, no. This was a big invite.
Did you see? That would have been great.
It sounded so good. But I did really think about it.
But then the parking and the crowds for you just doesn't get you going.
Oh, here it is. A VVIP diamond ticket.
Yes, yes.
A diamond ticket. I've never heard. I've heard of platinum and gold, but diamond. Holy shit.
Okay. I got the diamond award as well. And what I loved is there was separate entrance for all of the diamond people. So there were long queues, and I'm like, excuse me, I'm off to the diamond.
Is that where you went?
Yeah.
You also had VVIP diamonds.
There was a separate entrance.
So what, were you in a suite?
I chose not to. And here's why. I thought, you know, at first, this is one of those experiences where I thought I wanted
to
be.
People hate you right now.
I know.
People hate you. You're superior shit.
I sound so presumptuous to have had the opportunity, but I thought I want to be front and center. And I think for Katy Perry,
did they have a little diamond area for just the diamond ticket holders right up front? This is golden circle. This is diamond circle.
Yeah, there was the whole shebang, and you got a nice package.
So were you
from the concert as well?
Oh, really? What was in the package?
I haven't looked through it yet.
Is it here?
No, it's at home. Yeah, you were about to say, like, damn it, I need to know.
All right, so tell me what happens.
But I opted to really rather be in the golden circle area right in front, because Katy is one of those artists, you want to dance with her, want to jump around, and yeah, I thought this is not a situation where you want to stand with a glass of something and how did you and don't
yeah,
you.
This is not Elton John.
Yeah, yeah, right, not at all. And to be in the midst of everyone else, look at me sounding presumptuous, everyone else. But it was actually really, really cool to dance and jump around. And she was talking to the crowd. She'd walk up to us.
You're going
to
be such a shit when you're rich one day. Yes, you are. All I hear is superiority. You have such a superiority complex. It's unbelievable.
I was with one of the people. I was one of the people last night.
It's one of the things I like about you. Don't get me wrong, because I'm not threatened by it. But wow, you have such an opinion of yourself.
It is so. And you guys all indulge me. Now I'm being driven places. I get diamond packages.
Yes.
You're creating a monster here. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I saw a lot of our friends there as well. Brett Lopesher was there.
From WeChat.
Yeah. And he was also standing right in front, dancing around. I did not expect to see that sight, but it was cool.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like a good party.
I think the closest thing, if you watch her Super Bowl performance, that's very similar to what she brought out yesterday. Yeah. And of course, she had to make reference to Madiba, and it was her first time performing in South Africa. So
how many concerts is she doing?
Oh, I think in Joburg she's here for one or two more performances.
Wow. Okay. So she's busy.
Yeah. Cape Town, there's something that one of her nights already sold out. Because ever since she's started, she's never been to South Africa. So she was performing like I Kissed a Girl Katy Perry songs and all of her popular hits in her career. Because she says we've been waiting for so long. And I didn't mind that. I thought it was cool.
All right. I've got so much I want us to get to, and because Ben isn't here for sport, we've got a little bit of time to play with, so I'll get to those in a moment or two. I want to talk about the Bristol sisters that Sia met in London, because it was in the middle of the World Cup, and they were on fire, these two girls. And I know I've had them here on my computer for like a week and a half, and we haven't got to them, so I'm going to damn well do it today if it kills me.
Yes.
That we'll get to. Also want to talk about Thomas Markle. We said we would discuss him yesterday, and we didn't get to that. We see how busy we are.
Yeah, this week has been really full. Now that I think about it,
there's never ever been a day where I've gone, okay, let's finish early.
Mm-hmm.
Ever? How's that possible?
Do you want to do the five things first?
Let's do the five things, but I will tell you, Lerato Shabalala is back with a brand new episode today. On this episode of Living It Up, which is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R, Blinds and Shutters, Lerato chats to Jackie Frost from Dream Furniture and to Chantal Yonker from Yonker Interiors to talk about evolving children's spaces from nursery to spaces fit for toddlers and teenagers. Now, I know my brother has this problem because he's got two kids. So what he's done is they've obviously used all the stuff from the four-year-old for the two-year-old. So you only need to really do it once if your kids have a nice age gap between them. But it does change. The needs of the two-year-old are very different to the needs of the four-year-old. And they evolve, and you have to be able to turn these rooms into different things. In the beginning, it's a nursery. You have to have a place to change the baby. It's a cot, not a bed. And later on, it becomes a bed. And they want place for their toys and books and all kinds of things. So you really have to be able to adapt these spaces to suit the kids. And I think it'll be fascinating to hear this with Lerato. Make sure you get the new episodes every Thursday. Explore interior design, making the best use of the space you have. How to make your room more intimate, decor for kids, and so much more. And let me just explain, because a lot of people go, well, that's very visual. And this is a podcast. How's that going to help me? But this is the point with podcasts, right, is you can imagine it. We give you the words. We tell you, you get this interior decorator explaining how you can turn a very plain, boring cube of a room into a space that a kid's going to love or a space in your house that you're proud of. And you can hear them describe things, and you fit your own furniture and your own color schemes and your own flooring and ceilings into that space without anyone else supplying the pictures to you. It's an exercise in creativity and imagination. When you hear someone else describe it, you see it in your own pictures. That's powerful. Way more useful to you if you want to do it in a signature way than to have someone come in and do it for you, right? Especially if you're on a budget. And if you're a parent who won't want to miss this week's show, then you need to listen to Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. It's brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Are your windows and doorways crying out for some much-needed attention? Well, Taylor Blinds and Shutters are the stylish solution to give them a breath of fresh air. Trusted, innovative, quality, and style. Taylor, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R. Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Taylor with a Y. Look them up, go and visit their website, or you can find out everything you need to know by clicking through from cliffcentral.com. Five things you need to know. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. A couple of stories, and I don't want to go through these in too much detail because I'm sure we'll touch on them with Justice Malala later on. Apparently, 50,000 Rand is what it cost for dinner with Barack Obama. So when you see all these people on Instagram posting pictures of themselves at a dinner with former U.S. President Barack Obama, then you know they paid. They parted with 50,000 Rand so they could have that Instagram picture and show off to the rest of us that they'd met Barack. Do I want to split with 50 grand to see Barack Obama? Hells no. Dinner with him would have cost you 50 grand, apparently, after the Mandela lecture on Tuesday. Celebs dropped as much as that amount of money to dine with Barack Obama. The gala dinner was themed A Night of 100 Words, held in Nazareth, Johannesburg. Joining Obama as the headline VVIP guests were President Cyril Ramaphosa, who's really hoping some of that shine rubs off on him, Mandela's widow, Graca Machel, and former President Halema Motlanthe, as well as human rights lawyer and friend of Mandela, George Bezos. Guests including Maria Ramos, Trevor Manuel, Herman Mashaba, Zweli Mkhize, and Mteto Nyati dined on beef stew, king clip, and oysters while quaffing pricey whiskey. And who are they? They're all politicians that live off our tax money. How does that make you feel? Let's just take a moment to think about that. Certainly Maria Ramos, not a politician, but president of a bank which is advertising everywhere at the moment, just showing off how much extra cash they have, which must be insulting to some South Africans on some level. I find it annoying, especially because the advertising is so boring. Hello, Midrand. Hello, Santon. Do me a favor. Put some messaging into that. Just saying hello to me is about as banal as advertising can get. What are you trying to say?
Hello.
It's ridiculous. And Maria Ramos is quaffing pricey whiskey with Barack Obama. It really is two South Africas. Thabo Mbeki was right. And you want to know who the elite are? It's not land-owning farmers who live in the cold, miserable Free State trying to scrape together a living by gathering herds of sheep together and selling them to the market. It's these people who pay $50,000 to go and have dinner with Barack Obama.
I would like to believe that in a perfect world, there's some sort of profit point in that price and the money's going to the foundation.
It will be, and that's good.
Okay.
But and of course, they have to raise money in any way. What I have a problem with, and again, I'm not envious of these people, because I think if you earn money, you can spend it any way you like. And that's not what bothers me. But it does bother me that these are the very people who are telling us all the time how we should do things in South Africa and what we should give and where we should give it. Just quietly go about it. An important part of charity is you don't tell everybody. After Obama reminded South Africans that yes, we can at the Mandela lecture, he addressed a more elite room at the gala dinner. The event was sponsored by ABSA and the Nelson Mandela Foundation. So it was sponsored as well. So why sell the tickets? I don't understand. Anyway, fine. Proceeds all went to the work of the foundation, so I suppose that's a good reason. The gala, like the lecture, is an annual event meant to thank those involved and celebrate the lecture. The packages contained in the invitation shows VVIP seating for 10 people, cost 500,000 rand a table.
Yo, yo, yo.
And a table for 16 people was 800,000 rand. Whew. They got a performance from Mikasa, Lira, Judith Sapuma, Amanda Black, and Vusi Mahlasela. They performed a rendition of Johnny Clegg's anti-apartheid song, Asimbonanga. The menu said the starter would be foraged kunu, a tribute to the herd boy. But the starters were not served. Apparently the starters were not served because they were running late. This dish was described in the menu as local ashed goat's cheese, textures of beetroot, charred corn and toasted hazelnuts, delicately adorned. Jesus, I hate this. I hate this in a menu.
I'm not trying to stir some trouble up, but I'm saying if I dropped 50 grand and my entire table dropped half a million and you don't serve me starter, no. I need Lira singing and serving me my food on a tray if I paid half
a
million.
Well, there we go. Let's just move on. Five men and a woman were arrested on Tuesday for producing counterfeit sanitary towels, shoe polish, food, condiments, and other items. It's like Hong Kong is everywhere. National police spokesperson Brigadier Vishnu Naidu said the police had discovered a factory and raided three properties in Hartswater in the Northern Cape on Tuesday after they got a tip-off. It's all this fake stuff. Fake and counterfeit liquor products pose a serious risk to public health, said General Kehla John Sithole. In addition to the risk to public health, South Africa is losing tax revenue due to the illicit trade. Yeah, that's the real reason you give a shit. You don't care if people drink stuff that's counterfeit. You're worried about losing out on the tax. Communities are urged not to buy counterfeit goods. All right, so that's kind of a big story. Parliament has urged the Hawks to investigate VBS Bank and report back to it when it resumes its sitting next month. Police Portfolio Committee Chairperson Francois Bjorkman said on Wednesday that white-collar crime in the finance sector was hindering economic growth and investor confidence. VBS rose to prominence after it loaned 7.8 million rand to former President Jacob Zuma in September of 2016 to pay back the individual benefits he obtained from the upgrade to his home in Gandla. South African Reserve Bank put VBS under curatorship in March after discovering that the bank did not have enough funds to meet its obligations to depositors. Just by the way, do we know whether any of that money has been paid by the former president for Nkandla? That's 7.8 million rand. Do we know whether it was ever paid? And if it hasn't been, what a mockery it makes of all the stuff that went on in Parliament, that all the stuff that went on in the investigation. Someone has to make sure that this was paid. right? And this VBS Bank, I see they've put up a huge campus of buildings. They've used old buildings, but they've dressed them up in their colors. Mm. Here at the Rivonia Road off-ramp, in blue and brown, and, you know, their VBS, they've got massive offices there. I don't know where they were before, whether it's an upgrade or a downgrade, but these things are sparkly and bright and shiny and new. So I'm confused. It seems if you just do enough to fool most of the people, they'll let you carry on. Harvey Weinstein files a motion to have Ashley Judd and her suit thrown out.
That's a name we haven't mentioned on the show in a while.
Yeah. Harvey Weinstein has asked for Ashley Judd's lawsuit against him to be thrown out because he claims it was put forward 20 years too late. The 50-year-old actress claimed she lost out on a part in The Lord of the Rings after she rejected the shamed movie mogul's sexual advances in a lawsuit filed in April. On Tuesday, a court heard how Weinstein argued that the star had filed this action 20 years too late, as the alleged incident happened in 1998.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know how Ashley Judd is going to go out and substantiate what she's saying, but I sort of get what she's saying, though. You know, Lord of the Rings was a massive, massive franchise. And you think about if she had gone into that movie and then made it to the sequel and then made it to the third one, and then that would have spun out into other opportunities, and who knows who she could have, you know, endorsed and what other projects she would have received. But because of Shady Harvey,
yeah,
she said no. But how do you also equate that? How much value did she lose out on? So I think it's going to fall out, really, because it doesn't really have legs to stand on.
Well, also, how long can you wait before you make a claim like this? I mean, there is such a thing in law as prescription, which means that if you don't file a claim or make an action take place in a certain space of time after something's happened, it kind of runs out because you no longer have credible witnesses and the evidence is shady. And, you know, the more time elapses, the less sure you can be of the facts of the case. People's memory gets worse, obviously, after that.
That makes sense. So yeah.
This is 20 years ago. Who knows? Anyway, I see also that in the final story for the five things you need to know this morning, Cyril Ramaphosa was in the Eastern Cape. God, I feel sorry for the Eastern Cape.
Why?
Well, he was there to talk about Mandela Day. And he talked and talked and talked, just like he did the other day on the stage at the Nelson Mandela lecture. But, you know, the second biggest township in South Africa is in East London. And I know someone who was there in this week. And there is such poverty there. There are people sitting in the street without shoes. Old people. Old grannies or grandpas who have no shoes in this winter cold. Can you imagine? They have no food. It's the most third world of third world places, he described it as. He said there are people slaughtering animals and cutting meat on the side of the road while cars go past belching carbon monoxide. The blood runs down the streets. There are kids running around between the cars. It's hell. It's absolute hell. No one obeys any rules, even though they're roads. The taxis go wherever they want. People put up these little wooden structures to sell stuff from. But he said it's absolute squalor and poverty. It stinks. It's the sewage running down the street. It just sounds like absolute hell. And this is the second biggest township in the country. Mm. And Cyril goes to the Eastern Cape to talk about Mandela's legacy. Well, Cyril, for those people in that township, I don't know that your life, your words make any difference to their life. I somehow don't think so. I feel so sorry for that province. You know, there are so few people who can get work in the Eastern Cape at the moment. There's just no economy, really, to speak of. It's harder than it's ever been. This is the province that Nelson Mandela grew up in. This is the province he was born in. This is the province where the ANC came from. And they can't even sort out the most glaring, revolting social problem of a township like this, where clearly people are living in subhuman conditions. Don't care. having dinner with Barack Obama at 50 grand a plate the night before.
Foraged Kunu served.
Yeah, I mean, what an insult. Because some of the people in Kunu and places like that are still foraging. They're foraging like primitive cavemen for enough sustenance for the day. And they probably don't get enough sustenance for the day. God alone knows what health problems some of those people will have. What kind of life expectancy can they have? What sort of prospects for employment will they ever have? None. None. It's an awful existence. So I'm glad you're in the Eastern Cape, Mr. President. I think you've got a lot of work to do there. And the reason that that province in particular is so deep in the shit is because it's been run into the ground by the politicians. The local politicians, the Buffalo City municipal manager, the Buffalo City mayors over the last 20 years have been among the most corrupt people that have ever been involved in politics in South Africa. If you want to be depressed, East London used to be a thriving town. A thriving town. It had businesses. The streets were alive. There was activity. People were opening shops. There was trade. There were cars that weren't broken down and beaten up. Now you go into the CBD of East London, you may as well be in the Central African Republic.
Oh, jeez.
It looks like the whole place has been shut down. It looks like nobody except street vagrants, fast food places. There's litter everywhere. It's a disaster. That's East London. It's probably our, what, 7th, 8th biggest city in the country? It's a fucking mess. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment. Not fit for human habitation. How can the ANC have let this happen in their home province? How? How little pride do we have as a nation that we let one of our big cities deteriorate like this? It's so disappointing. So depressing. And the ANC have a lot to account for there. Those are the five things. I did want to get to the Bristol sisters. So do you want to explain who these girls were quickly? Because you actually sat and talked to them. I only met them very briefly. We went to a bar in Brixton in London when C and I were there.
Mm.
And we met fascinating people. I mean, it's such a mixed area. Brixton is very lively. It's very diverse. It's very exciting. And there are lots of cool people that that frequent this place. It happened to be on the day that England were playing...
something. It was the Saturday.
Russia. They were playing Russia, weren't they? I can't remember. Anyway, they were having a good time and everybody was partying hard. And there were a lot of drinks flowing and it was during the day. So, you know, Saturday during the day.
That didn't stop them though.
No, people can have a fun time. So there are two girls at the table near us. Very lively. They jumped up and down the whole time. They were dancing whenever a good song came on. And I said to Sia, go over there, meet them and see what you can find out about them. These sound like interesting characters. This is what he got.
Bitch! Are you a bitch? I say, queen, I will kick you in the teeth, Queenie.
I will kick you in the teeth, Queenie. Is she talking about Queen Elizabeth?
Nope. Talking to one of her friends.
Oh.
One of her friends was like touching
That's
her
drink.
That's
how she talks to her friends? I'll
Casually,
kick you in the teeth?
That was a bitch. I'll kick you in the teeth.
Are these two sisters?
Two sisters? Yeah.
You are twins or sisters?
I thought you were twins.
Why like that shit?
How drunk were they?
They're probably properly out of it. But at the same time, you can tell that this is how they casually talk to each other. Because then I was trying to figure out who's who in the zoo.
Right.
And I asked one of them, like, oh, you guys related because they did look alike. And I thought, oh, are you even twins? And she goes, listen, do I look that shit? I'm like, okay.
Oof.
Let me not get involved in family drama.
They're not nice to each other.
Oh, no.
He needs to go. Oh, Brexit and all. Me, I'm an immigrant.
Yeah.
Immigrant. Yes. Immigration.
So they're anti-Brexit?
No. That is her way of saying she's leaving. That's a new term now.
Oh.
She's going to Brexit it.
So people, when they leave the bar, they say they Brexit it.
Brexit it.
Okay, wow.
Immigration masturbate.
No, I mean, I don't work. Who wants to be there or hyping it up? I look after my mum, she's really ill.
Oh, that's sweet.
It reminds me of like the
But before that, about 5 years ago,
it reminds me of like the
before I found out she was poorly, I didn't work there either. Now I look like the good girl.
She's looking after her mother. I like the way the English say, she was poorly. That means...
sick.
Yeah, she was sick. She was poorly.
Oh, man. I wish
How long
could...
did you talk to them? Because I know you only cut these up, but hang on.
I think I double.
See, you
know what I'm talking about.
I don't even understand
it
that.
It
what was she talking about?
It is just a mess. You know, like, she was telling me about how... I asked, like, oh, so what do you do? Because he's such an interesting character. She goes, oh, no, I look after my mum because she's poorly. And I thought, oh, that's such a sweet thing for you to do. But then she leaned a little closer. She goes, listen, even before she was sick, I wasn't really working. But now I like the fact that she's sick because I can use it as an excuse.
Oh, okay,
like, what
so
a mess of a
living
person.
Living in welfare.
What a proper mess.
Are you still bothering everybody?
No, having a great time.
That's Sia having a massive party with them. You got to post that video of you dancing with them.
A.M. See you later.
See you later. They think that was funny. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you'd need a taste of the kind of people who you meet when you're just walking around in London.
I wish we could get them in here properly. Just
chat
to them.
No, I don't.
Oh, we're Instagram official now with one of the girls, so she's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her name is... She calls herself Binks.
Is that the one who said she'd kick her sister in the teeth?
Yes.
Okay, nice. Hey, Graham, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going, guys?
Good. What's happening?
Not much, just my usual morning routine. I must thank you guys. Every morning I wake up, I make a cup of coffee, and I slowly allow myself to get ready for the world. So I can't do it without you guys. I'm glad you're on.
Dude, you have an excellent phone line. Let me compliment you on the quality of your phone line.
Well, that's amazing, because there's a bergwind outside here in Cape Town that is absolutely horrendous. It's blowing so hard, it nearly blew my pit bull over the wall into the neighbor's house, which would be a disaster. It would have eaten all their dogs.
What do you do?
I'm a high-end visual effects artist in Cape Town. I'm actually just wrapping up a big horror movie that we're working on at the moment. It's been quite a push. I'm burning at the moment, but we're nearly finished.
How is the film business in Cape Town? I mean, I know there was a stage where it was booming and people were very excited about what was going on over there. Is there still a lot of work coming in?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've worked with the guys from Four Fingers. Michael, I'm sure you've had him on your show. We worked with quite a few people. I worked on that movie, Klebe, that pissed off all the homophobes. I've worked on quite a few movies. I do the visual effects part, so I do the final finish stuff.
Nice. So have you got a nice studio with big screens in it that you sit at all day?
Yeah, we've actually got a 4K projector in a cinema room where we do our grading.
That's amazing. I suppose you have to have really good quality screens because you have to then do the effects that will be put on a cinema screen. If you don't do
It's all HDR screens actually, so it's not like your regular TVs. It's actually got high dynamic range.
So if your effects are crappy, then it's going to look even worse on a big screen, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, like what looks like a hair on a TV screen is actually quite large. It's like the size of someone's arm on a cinema screen. So our attention to detail is very important. It's quite an obsessive job, which suits me. Because if I'm not busy, then I get myself in shit.
How much time do you spend sitting at the desk there, you know, in front of the computer?
Well, at the moment, I mean, like this last weekend and the weekend before I've been at work. Uh-huh. But I kind of do it with pleasure. I get like friends phoning me to go out and go have a jaw with them. But I'm quite happy to be in my cave working away.
I would say
about 16 hours a day lately. At least.
Do you get up and run around at least? Otherwise, you can end up with crooked back and bad eyes.
No, I'm pretty active. I mean, like on the weekends, I try to like, get a hike in here and there and be out and about. But otherwise, yeah, I've got a pretty bad back from it.
Sitting in front of these computers, man, we don't even know because they'll only publish the comprehensive research in about 10 years' time and they'll look back on, you know, the last 30 to 40 years of humans sitting in front of computers. And I think they're going to find some disturbing stuff.
Yeah, I'll probably will be one of those disturbing things, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all will. You know, everybody, if you think about how much time we spend looking into a screen, whether it's your phone or your computer or anything else, I think people spend a huge amount of time, and they say it's work. For you, it obviously is. I can totally understand that. But for a lot of people, they're just checking mail, going on social media. You know, it's not work.
Yeah, you know, that's why I actually try to avoid screens when I'm not working. That's why I'm really into my podcast. I listen to a lot of Joe Rogan stuff. Mm-hmm. And the new guy, Theo Von, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's quite funny. He's a southerner. He's, like, so basic that his honesty just comes through so strongly. It's hard to hear any pontificating or you know, any sort of, like, posturing whatsoever, because he's just such a simple southerner. So the honesty in his podcast is great. But I do enjoy my podcast because it rests my eyes a lot. You know?
Yeah, it's a good thing. And also, you can, while you're working with stuff visually, you can actually listen to the podcast and it doesn't interrupt.
Totally. Gareth, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I know you're a fan of old school hip hop, like Gord is. I'm actually quite good friends with Gord. I've known Gord for years.
Nice.
There's a new rapper out called Tom McDonald.
Tom McDonald.
You must check out his stuff. He's basically having a full go at the social justice warriors, the mumble rappers. Anyone who's got anything to, like, tell other people how to live or speak or behave, he has a full go at them. There's a new song called Politically Incorrect. I think you might enjoy it.
Okay, I'll look for it right now.
It's also got that sort of old flow, so it's not that, like, mumble rap nonsense.
Is that the guy who did Dear Rappers?
Yes, he's got a song called White Boy, he's got a song called Dear Rappers, and now he's got one called Politically Incorrect.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to look for that right now.
All right, great. Well, nice talking to you guys. Have a beer.
Hi.
Clutch your pearls, boy.
I'll continue clutching the pearls. Perfect. Right. I'm even Googling Tom McDonald now.
All right, thanks, dude.
Nice. You guys will enjoy it. But thanks for the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, awesome. Graham. Cool. All right, let's go. Let's listen to this guy, because we've got to get Sid by Sia in. We've got Justice popping by for the Burning Platform this morning. It's going to be a busy day. And if I don't listen to this song in the show, I'm never going to listen to it, right? Yeah. So we may as well. Sia first. Let's do Sid by Sia this morning. If you're wondering where Ben is, he is busy with some golf. And if you'd like to know why Poppy isn't in, then you can listen to the first half of the show, because I explained at length how we're changing things up. But she will be in weekly, like Gord. That's the short synopsis of it. What do you got for us?
Yo, there is going above and beyond what you have to do, and then there's this story, because I think this single-handedly has redefined the term. So three grocery store workers in Alabama went above and beyond their call of duty to help a little girl out who was heartbroken over the loss of one of her stuffed toys named Bunny, which she lost while she was in one of their stores. Brace yourself for the story, because if at most, at least just get a chuckle out of it, because I know I'm meant to be some moving or stirring or inspiring person, but even I think this is a bit extreme this morning. So 3-year-old Madison was out shopping with her mother Jenna at a grocery store in Alabama, and when they arrived home, she realized that she was missing her toy friend. So they call the store and they ask around, like, look, you know, my daughter's distraught here, she's trying to look for her toy, can't find it anywhere. The manager of the store goes back and looks at footage and spots the fact that the mother and the daughter were pushing a trolley around and they were taking their groceries into the car, but left this doll in the trolley, and someone a little later had just thrown the dolly into the trash and called it a day, because, you know, the store was closing and they didn't, were moving on. But this is when the manager and two other volunteers, God bless your hearts, decided to go out into the landfill in their town to look for this doll. Wow. I am not
that is something. Holy shit, who's gonna do that?
These three guys evidently did. I would not be able to do that at all. They went out really hands first, got into the landfill. Ugh. They finally found this little bunny.
What are the chances? Have you seen how big these landfills are?
They washed it around three times, and they personally delivered it back to 3-year-old Madison at her door. So a huge shout out to them. If you think that's inspiring, go for gold. I don't know if I'd be able to, but I thought it was just so funny and also moving at the same time. So a bit of a chuckle this morning for your sympathy.
That's nice. Wow, so it sounds like a lot of work, though, huh?
I'm here for helping people out, you know, but getting involved in rubbish. Yeah.
Filthy, dirty rubbish.
Yikes. That's a whole other line.
By the way, I didn't throw this in, but Bitcoin is $7,324 and Ethereum will cost you $475 at the moment. Those are the numbers. It's just after 7 o'clock. Let's get to Tom McDonald, the rap that Graham just told us about. And when we come back, Justice Malala, the burning platform, on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.